this is a special day. You can open the window. This window. Is it open already?
No, it's a sealed window.
It's what?
It's a sealed window.
It's a sealed window. Okay. It's the disappearance day of Bhakti Vinod Thakur and Gadadhar Pandit. And I thought it would be nice to focus on Bhakti Vinod Thakur this morning. During the day today, Badahari Prabhu is arriving, Chicago, and this evening he'll be singing Bhakti Vinod Thakur bhajans. At least that and probably some more things in honor of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. His life is so broad and vast and expansive, and one can't in a short time say everything about the life of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, so I'll just try to cover some highlights first and then pick some features of his life and expand on them a little bit. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was described as the seventh Goswami. That's quite a honor. Of course, the six Goswamis, meaning the principal followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately after his life, and how many followers of Lord Chaitanya, great, great, great Vaishnavas were there, yet these six Goswamis were most prominent, or among the most prominent, and they, because they accomplished two things in particular, they put in writing the teachings of Lord Chaitanya voluminously, and they re-established the places of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. Besides, they were the preeminent acharyas following Lord Chaitanya. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur did these two things. Only his literary achievements were astounding. Over 100 books. Anybody try to write a book sometime in your life and see what that's like? Over 100 books. And he re-established the places of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes in Navadvip, as to the six Goswamis in Vrindavan, the places of Krishna's pastimes. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was uniquely in our disciplic line, was the father of a successor acharya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, amongst our disciplic line, is particularly important for our present day society because he, like most people in present day society, was a householder. So he showed by example how to live a life of devotion as a householder. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his life as a householder, like many of our current ISKCON householders, he didn't even come to know of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a serious way until his mid-30s. He hadn't even read Srimad Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita because there weren't printing presses like today. So now it's easy. Mm-hmm. Go to Krishna.com and click your little mouse and give your credit card number and they'll send a Srimad Bhagavatam set right to your home. Not so during Bhaktivinoda Thakur's time. In fact, not only was Chaitanya Charitamrita and Srimad Bhagavatam not so readily available, Lord Chaitanya, because of the over the generations, the decay of purity in the teachings and following of the teachings, there had been so much deviation that Lord Chaitanya was synonymous with bad things. You know, people that in the name of religion did bad things. Imitating Krishna's pastimes with women and so many things. In the name of followers, being followers of Lord Chaitanya. So, in that medium of practically not only lost but in ill repute, Bhaktivinoda Thakur turned all of that around. The huge accomplishment, paving the way for his son and then paving the way for Srila Prabhupada, paving the way for us little folks to try to spread Krishna consciousness. But there was strong opposition, certainly outside of India and even within India. So, it just, the list of his accomplishments is vast. He was a, during the British government time, Prabhupada liked to speak about this, he was placed in a position of high court judge, and that's like, that didn't happen. The high court judge was reserved for the British. But because Bhaktivinoda Thakur was so good, they wanted him as the high court judge. His range of his gifts of literature was, and his interactions with others was from the highest. He wrote books in pure Sanskrit. He wrote commentaries on Sanskrit literatures. He wrote literatures in Bengali. He wrote literatures in English. He wrote songs for village people that can't even read and write to learn the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through songs. He established Namahatta for village people. And a very, very detailed, organized system of village preaching. Our Bhakti Vriksha system is a spin-off of, or a take-off of, that Namahatta system. He achieved states of, the final stages of his life. He was practically in samadhi. It's very unusual for acharyas in our line, especially those so strongly engaged in preaching. But he went into seclusion, nirjan bhajan, just solitary bhajan for extended time. And because he had the qualification to do so, he met many obstacles in the course of his life. One of them was ill health from 8 months of age to throughout his life. He was regularly becoming, his health was frail and would have periods of time where he would have just terrible health. and then would recover and then keep going. He, in the service to the British government, he encountered, you know, criminals and dangerous people. And he was fearless because he was serving Krishna. And he was a man of principle. And circumstance didn't change principle. He just lived by principle. Many examples of that. He was such a outstanding acharya. In his writings, he gives so many practical things, so many detailed practical things of how to lead one's life in the world, and detailed explanations of practicing sadhana bhakti and the philosophy and chanting of the holy name, and just like volumes and volumes and volumes and volumes. Very, very deep, very practical understanding. He trained Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati when his son was a young boy. He trained him the whole procedure of publishing, editing, writing, printing, preparing his son for that service himself. In addition to his own writings, he published the writings of previous acharyas and so many accomplishments. He was a visionary. We are indebted to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Just, let's say, take three of them. He envisioned the day will come when from all over the world, from Russia and America and Australia and Africa, China, persons will come to the streets of Navadvipa and singing and dancing, chant the holy names of the Lord. At a time when Lord Chaitanya was just obscure, like, you know, unknown. He had such a vision, and his vision became manifest. He had a vision of a reviving. It was based upon scripture statements, but the reviving of Navadvipa city at a time when it was just rustic agricultural fields. He had a vision of worldwide Sangha of Vaishnavas. How the indication that Lord Chaitanya's teaching and his holy name would be sung at every town and village, because Lord Chaitanya had said that it would happen, and he envisioned it happening. On one morning walk, Prabhupada was in Mayapur. Prabhupada was describing, like I'm describing, just, you know, this glory, that glory, how glorious was Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And one devotee said, Prabhupada, he was such a visionary and so powerful. Why is it that during his lifetime, Krishna consciousness didn't spread all over the world? Because he saw it. And Prabhupada smiled and said, he left something for us to do. And then smiled and said, and I'm leaving something for you to do. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was born in 1838 during a very strong period of British rule, when everything European and particularly British was good, and everything, at least, you know, the propaganda was, everything from India was backwards and crippled and you know, bad to be rejected by anybody worth their intellectual salt would reject anything indigenous to India. It was just systematic propaganda. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was born in a wealthy aristocratic family. His grandfather was fabulously wealthy, and that's the social milieu that he grew up in, from Calcutta. No, aristocratic, well-educated, very wealthy, highbrow society. A lot of what we know about his life came from, in effect, it's an autobiography, but it was in the form of a several hundred page letter to one of his sons, Lalit Prasad. So we can take it from that letter that the details are not inaccurate. He's describing precisely, including, you know, his infancy, because he came to know that when he was just an 8-month-old child, he had a big boil. A big boil that was so that, you know, the doctors couldn't remove, and it just kept coming back. So his body became very, very frail and feeble, and they were concerned that he would die. His two younger brothers died when he was just a young boy. So there was, you know, there was hardship. And at a young age, his father died. And so his mother shifted the family to her family. So from where he was born to that place. And in that place, he received his education. Characteristic of a great personality, he showed scholarship that was just amazing, and he showed spiritual attraction that was outstanding. Every opportunity he had, he would go and attend the Ramayan recitation and Mahabharat recitation and learn the Bhagavad Gita, this natural attraction for such things. When he was just 4 years old, he composed spontaneously his first poetry. His father was out of town, and he saw a crow on a tree, branch of a tree, and he composed one verse in Bengali, a rhyming couplet about the crow turning suddenly to indicate the return of his father. But it was a poetic expression of that. And just as he composed, the nurse that was with him saw the crow turn his head and look in the direction where his father had traveled, and sure enough, within a day or two, his father came. So he was recognized as a very brilliant young boy. He wrote his first full extended piece when he was just a teenager. I forget what you call those types of literatures, like a ballad. It was a fiction ballad about a certain character who was like, you know, a journey type of thing, like the Iliad type of thing. Because his education was very much influenced by Western literature. So growing up, he became very familiar with the European authors of the time, because they were good and everything Indian and Vedic was bad, so he learned all the good stuff. He learned the ways of European intelligentsia. He went to school with the Tagore family, and that was the way in which he was educated. When he finished school, his education, one relative secured for him a high position in some business. And very quickly he was removed from the business because he was too honest, because he was a principal person, and some kind of an officer of a big company. He was doing some accounting and he saw that somebody had overpaid for something that they received. So he notified them and returned the money that they had overpaid. And then the owner of the business said, "I think you have the wrong profession. I think you should be a teacher. That's a nice profession for you." So he spent some time being a school teacher. And after some time, gradually in government service, and this because of his honesty and his strength of fairness and judgment, he placed in a judge position and gradually moved from one place to another place to another place and into Orissa and eventually into Puri, where his first, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's first wife died and he remarried, and his second wife, Bhagavati, gave birth to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in Puri at their home right along Grand Road. And there's a Gaudiya Math temple there where Bhaktivinoda Thakur lived and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was born. During his time, one of the things that we hear invariably about Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of the first things that he did when he was made the chief magistrate in Puri, was he had some jurisdiction over the details of the worship in the Jagannath temple, and he came to find out that the standards had slackened, and immediately took steps to bring the standards back up to the proper number of offerings every day, and that they were timely and so forth. He's a very strict disciplinarian in his government office, very concerned of priority to spiritual matters. Two very nice descriptions that are found in his life while he was in Puri include a yogi who lived outside of the urban part of Puri, who was like a mystic. He had long dreadlocks and had some mystic powers, and people claimed that he didn't deny, so he was putting himself forward as Krishna. He was Krishna, but as in a form of a yogi, and he had a brother whose name was Balaram. And Balaram would go into Puri and tell everybody all about Krishna, was living outside in the forest, and people were attracted because he had some mystic siddhis. He was due to austerity, one can develop mystic siddhis. So he had mystic siddhis, and very, very popular. You know how sentimental people, and that he's God, and they can't say anything against God because he's God, and Their sentiments are hurt if you say anything other. So it started becoming like a big concern when he started having rasa dance with the ladies of Puri. He would invite them to come to see him in the forest, and they'd have the rasa dance, and he would defile them. So that was brought to the chief magistrate's attention, and the chief magistrate, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, told the constables to go arrest him, bring him to the court. And they said, "No, we're afraid. He's too powerful. Our families, anything could happen. He could make a curse and we're finished." So Bhaktivinoda Thakur personally went and found him and confronted him. And this yogi had one of his little tricks was he would shake his head, and when he moved his head very fast, his hair would fly around and sparks would come from his hair. So he did that little program when Bhaktivinoda Thakur came, and all the constables backed off, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur didn't back off. He grabbed him and said, "I want you to explain what you have done." And he said, I want you, if you're not prepared to explain to me now, you come to Puri and we'll sit in the court and we'll have a trial. You can explain yourself in court." And he's surrounded by this time the constables became a little more courage. They didn't see that Bhaktivinoda Thakur got zapped or something. And so he then said something like, "This is simply my leela. I'm making like I'm being taken to Mathura to meet Kamsa." And so he went to Puri and took some time for the trial to be scheduled, and while the trial was scheduled, he made a curse. He was fasting and made a curse that Bhaktivinoda Thakur's family would all die for this offense made to Krishna. And his daughter, because the yogi was powerful, the daughter came down with this very severe fever. And the mother saying, "Oh, let the guy loose. Why our family should be in trouble because of this rascal." But Bhaktivinoda Thakur was not going to stop, and so he had the trial in 3 days, and it's described that as he himself got fever and his hand was trembling, and he read the sentence, and the first thing he did after the sentence was read is he had the yogi's hair cut, because his power is stored in his hair. After cutting his hair, within a few days, he died, perhaps from fasting or whatever. Thus ended the yogi. But, you know, he showed fearlessness in face of deceit and impurity. But he did it in a very forthright manner, in a very dignified but fearless manner. Another very prominent incident in Puri, when he was still there, was his dealings with, well, you know how India is in general, and Puri is like, you know, kind of like a capital of, you know, this ism and that ism and this mishmash and that mishmash, and, you know, people get in a very prominent position and they get really invested in this mishmash and that mishmash. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, rather than confronting them, he would invite them to his home, and through humble persuasion he would present in a very dignified and powerful and pure and scholarly manner the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And his son, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, or Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, his approach was confrontational. So he expressed to his father, this isn't good. You bring all these people to our home and they're just rascals. You should challenge them. So something like that happened. There was, to get the name, those of you that have been to Puri know that there's Siddha Bakul, where Haridas Thakur did his chanting, and there's the Samadhi of Haridas Thakur, which is by the beach. And in that Samadhi by the beach, over in the corners, you go in the entrance of Bhaktivinoda Thakur Samadhi, which is over to the left. Over to the right-hand corner, there's another room, a shrine, where there's a picture of somebody, and that somebody was, at the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there was a Babaji, something, something, something Babaji, and he had this practice that was deviated from Lord Chaitanya's practice of, instead of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, he made up another mantra. Nitai Gaur Radhe Shyam Hare Krishna Hare Ram. And Bhaktisiddhanta didn't like that because it's not what Lord Chaitanya did, and besides, he had a very clear, strong philosophical explanation. It was Rasa Bhas. And another thing that this so-and-so Babaji did was, one of his principal disciples, he dressed him up as Lalita, had his male disciple wearing a sari, practicing becoming Lalita, called Saki Beki. And that was too much for Bhaktisiddhanta. He was like, So he confronted him and publicly challenged him and spoke out, strongly in typical Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur style, that these two things were deviant, and this man was really popular. His home base was the Samadhi of Haridas Thakur. He was like, a popular guy. And people were not liking to hear this popular guy being spoken of by this young brahmachari. And so it was an uproar in Puri. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said to his son, I think you should go to Mayapur and chant Hare Krishna. This is, it's making my job very difficult. Because their style was different, which is perfectly appropriate that there's difference of styles and great acharyas. So from that point, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur left Puri and went to Mayapur, taking this vow that he would chant 1 billion names of the Lord, which was 3 times 64 rounds every day, for 3 years. Try it for one day. Try 64 rounds for one day. It's 3 times 64 rounds every day for 3 years. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's interest in Lord Chaitanya was growing and growing and growing, and he put in a request for a transfer from Puri to Navadvip. And it was rejected because they wanted him to stay in Puri. And he went through like half a dozen of those. Finally he said, I quit. I'll just go and live there on my own. They said, oh, we'll make a transfer. So we got a transfer to Krishnanagar. And he made his home in Godrum Dweep. Godrum Dweep is from our Mayapur temple. It's going along the Ganges, and then there's another tributary, the Jalangi tributary of the Ganges, and across the Jalangi to Godrum Dweep. And he made his home there, and from his home he began exploring more deeply the places of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. He came to establish that just down the street is the place where Nityananda Prabhu resided, and made that his headquarters for expanding during Lord Nityananda's time this Namahata. There's a nice song that Badahari will be singing, where Bhaktivinoda Thakur is describing that marketplace of the holy name that Lord Nityananda had established, and how Lord Nityananda engaged different devotees as his salesmen for selling the holy name, and the price for the holy name was one sincerity. And if someone offered the price, he would give them, they would give them the holy name. So, from that place in Godrum Dweep, many books were written. Bhaktivinoda Thakur envisioned, long story, discovered the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In part, it was a literal vision at night. He saw rising into the sky a very tall, effulgent dome of a temple. And there's no temple because it's just rice fields. But he had this vision. He brought a friend that was with him to look, and the friend saw also. It's just details, won't go into. But he went and found the place. And then he brought Jagannath Das Babaji, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur was residing there. And his notoriety went all the way to Vrindavan. So Jagannath Das Babaji, a Babaji, came all the way from, at over 100 years of age, from Vrindavan to Navadvip to associate with Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur accepted him as his Shiksha Guru. In our disciplic line, there's Jagannath Das Babaji and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So Jagannath Das Babaji came to reside in the city of Navadvip, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur understood that the birthplace is not in the city of Navadvip, on the western side of the Ganga, on the eastern side of the Ganga, and found the place and brought Jagannath Das Babaji there to confirm, and he confirmed by jumping out of his basket, because he couldn't walk. He was so old. He had to be carried in a basket. And so he began establishing the temple. And you know how it is in India. There's people that had their monetary livelihood based upon, over there is where the birthplace of Mahaprabhu, and here's Bhaktivinoda Thakur saying it's not over there, it's over here. And so he, as although aristocratic person that he was, he went door to door, requesting from all noble, pious Vaishnavas, 1 rupee. Everyone should give at least 1 rupee. The idea was buy-in from the local people. If they were objecting, he would explain why this is the birthplace and accept 1 rupee. And he built a small temple, which later he then requested his son to build the present temple. So Bhaktisiddhanta later built what we now see as the Yogpith, the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Again, his principled fearlessness in the face of... to do something like that, you're risking your life in West Bengal. But, you know, he was a principle-based person. And with the protection and the spiritual empowerment of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, people came to understand and accept. There's details of that whole experience. And after some time of writing many books and propagating the Navadvip parikrama, he established where the places of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes were by his divine inspiration. He wrote books about the parikrama of Lord Nityananda taking Jiva Goswami, because historically it happened. Jiva Goswami, being the nephew of Rupa and Sanatan, when he was just a small boy, when he became of age, Jiva Goswami came to Navadvipa and met Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda very kindly, mercifully took him to all the places of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. And that literature, Navadvip Dham Mahatmya and Navadvip something else, there's two companion books, describe this visit that Lord Nityananda and Jiva Goswami went, which he then entrusted his son, Bhaktisiddhanta, to establish this as an annual function. And by performing this as an annual function, the whole world will benefit. I mean, that's part of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's visionary. Here it's just, you know, if you've been to these places, it's just really simple village places. But they're sacred places. The places of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. And by persons going there, they will become sanctified, which Prabhupada manifests. So Bhaktisiddhanta did that. Every year he performed this parikrama in Navadvipa, as he did the parikrama in Brajmandal during Kartik time, and the Navadvipa parikrama during Gaur Purnima time, with an elephant procession and the whole, you know, Bhaktisiddhanta style. And what Prabhupada did was he wanted to establish Mayapur temple with this temple of Vedic planetarium with the same idea, the same vision of bringing people from all over the world. Not everybody from all over the world is going to go on Navadvipa parikrama, but people from all over the world may come to see a planetarium that shows the structure of the universe according to the Vedic literature. And just to go see, like, you know, like someone might go to a museum or some sightseeing thing, they would come to the Holy Dham and hear the Holy Name and find out about Lord Chaitanya and the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. That's what Prabhupada carried, that vision of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the visionary, and Bhaktisiddhanta and Srila Prabhupada were instruments to fulfill that vision. But such a powerful acharya. When there was opposition, he created favorable people. When there was nothing, he created a vision and began filling in that vision himself, at least laid the foundation for it, paving the way for the future acharyas to fulfill it. We're very, very, very indebted to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. One example of this was his birth date was September 2nd, 1838. And in 1896, which was the birth date of Srila Prabhupada, so 96 minus 38, so it is Huh? 58. So 58 years of age, he wrote in English The Life and Precepts of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and a small booklet and sent it all around the world because it was part of his vision through literature, through educating people, who was Lord Chaitanya. He wanted at least the scholars of the world who sent it to the universities, free copies to the library, all around the world. So that his was a flood the world with Lord Chaitanya and Lord Chaitanya's message and Lord Chaitanya's mission. It is that broad visionary. Prabhupada described Rupa Goswami like that too. Amongst the six Goswamis, Prabhupada said he couldn't think small. He could only think big. And because of his big thinking, it gave the structure and the potency for the mission, which then Jiva Goswami took up and started on bullock carts, sending the literature of the Goswamis all around India with his three principal students. First establish purity, and with that purity, depth of understanding, and then propagate in a very powerful way. So that was Rupa Goswami, then Jiva Goswami, and then Srinivasa. So that same as Rupa Goswami did amongst the six Goswamis, Bhaktivinoda Thakur also did, with enormous opposition from worldly people, from smarta Brahmins. There was this whole Brahmoism thing going on during his time, based upon birth, the merit of Brahmins. The intellectuals that said anything Vedic is rubbish, everything British is good. The degradation that he wrote one literature, one of his 100 plus literatures was the literature describing the 13 different varieties and subdivisions of divisions, deviations from Lord Chaitanya's teachings. Upa sampradayas, deviated sampradayas. So he had a lot of opposition. But he was fearless. And he was empowered. And he had vision. He was thinking not just this opposition, he was thinking the world should become Krishna conscious. But these wonderful teachings of Lord Chaitanya, which he didn't even come to know about until he was in his mid-30s, should be heard all over the world. Just such an indomitable personality. His style of life was, we were speaking a little bit about this last night, he was very regulated. He had a stop, what do you call it, a pocket watch on a chain, you know, stylish little pocket watch on a chain, and he would regularly, down to the minute, he would regulate what he did, what time he would get up, and what he would do after getting up, and in so many minutes for his puja, and so many minutes for reading, so many minutes for chanting, memorization of slokas, and then if he had a little nap time after he took his little cup of milk and couple pieces of fruit, and off he went to the high court judge's position in Puri. Very, very, very meticulously regulated, and he would finish volumes of cases that would take weeks. He would finish in a morning because he had this acumen of just like, as the thing was going on, he was writing his decision because he had this capacity to understand, gifted, empowered. And then when he came home in the evening, he would spend little time with his family and then little rest, and like Prabhupada did, up at night and writing all night long. Writing, 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 writing. For the benefit of others. His life was simply of service to others. With 10 children.
Ten.
10 children. One of them, pure devotee, successor acharya. The abundant gifts of Bhaktivinoda Thakur is just amazing. So our present Hare Krishna movement, ISKCON worldwide, certainly is by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, but it was made possible by this powerful presence of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and giving instructions within those instructions the potency to fulfill so many powerful instructions. One who takes those visionary statements very seriously. They're meant to prevail. Hare Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai. Any thoughts or additional something you want to add to pastimes of Bhaktivinoda Thakur?
Thank you.